causing great anxiety to people and worry. It's a wonderful day because the new wine is flowing like a river. The new wine, the good news, the true gospel, the revelation of the new covenant life that was won for us by the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior upon the cross. After so many years of people being oppressed by religion, even though there's so many good things to be found in religious systems, there has not been that revelation of God's love for his people. It has not brought the freedom that the Word of God tells us, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now, by the anointing of God, there is new wine flowing. A revelation of this is what was won for you on the cross. You're free to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. The only catch with that is where there's new wine, there's got to be new wineskins. And that's the challenge to our lives, to believers everywhere. The revelation is flowing. That's initiated by God. That's flowing out of the throne room of God. You read Revelation 22. As Ezekiel saw, it's a river that's going to continue to increase, flowing from the temple. And where it flows into the salty waters, the waters will be made fresh. It has the anointing to change things and bring healing to the needs of humanity. But the question is, are we willing to be the new wineskins to hold the wine where the wine can flow to us and through us? New wineskins is the process we are in. God's working in our life, the fire of God in our lives, the disruption that we experience in our circumstances, in our thinking, in our emotions. It's not about what's wrong with my life. That's not the correct perception. The correct perception is I've fallen into the hands of a living God. It's a wonderful thing. It's a scary thing because God is changing me from an old wineskin to being new, renewing our thinking so that we can hold the revelation of who he really is and what he has done for us. Part of this process, and we're going to talk about this morning, is we're learning how to listen. That's part of being a new wineskin. Not listening like so often we do in the natural, goes in one ear, out the other. Learning to listen intently to what he is speaking. There's such a need for that right now. For too long, people have thrown that off and said, as long as I can be busy with good works, that's okay. No. The thing that God has always been after, and I think it's becoming more real by the revelation of his Spirit in this hour, he wants people to listen to his voice and to hear him directly. Hebrews said that God in the past spoke to us through the prophets. What does he say after that? But in these last days, he has spoken to us in his Son. Now, I am in no way dismissing the office of a prophet or the need for prophetic voices. But too often that has been used as an excuse for people not hearing from God themselves. That day is over. We're going to continue to have the prophetic ministry, but you read John 10, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. God wants all his sheep to have a personal relationship with him and a personal communion with his voice. How do we hear his voice? We learn to become listeners. Now, we all know the voice of the Lord to a certain degree, but the more that we can listen in the Spirit, the clearer his voice becomes to us, and the greater place his voice has in our life as far as directing us and leading us. What an hour we are in. So many voices in the world. So many different sources clamoring and reaching for your attention. So much information being given out that it becomes difficult to distinguish what is God's voice in the midst of all this. The law, and we've talked a lot about law, and we're going to be addressing the issue of law again this morning. Being under the law, there's a definite voice that comes with that. If you're not walking under the grace of God, but under the law, the old covenant law, you are hearing a voice, and that voice is telling you what to do, but that voice also has with it condemnation and guilt, accusation. So in our own minds, there's so many voices, aren't there? Other people's opinions, so many other voices coming at us. One thing is needful, in the midst of all these voices, and I'm not saying they're all bad voices. Many of them are good. But the most important thing is that we can distinguish his voice from all the others. Nothing wrong with the voices in my mind, at least some of them. Some of those voices in my thinking, I think, need to be replaced. They don't serve any useful function, but a lot of them are just good instruction, good knowledge. But I have to be careful that all those voices in my thinking don't dull my hearing and being able to distinguish the Father's voice and what he's speaking to me. We don't want God's voice to become something commonplace also where we really aren't affected by it. And we do hear it. One example I read from this writer was he was just moved into a new house and he had three young children. He had one, had a baby, but this dog kept barking at night, just disturbing him. And he was so irritated with this dog. But over time, he didn't even notice the barking after a while. Over time, it's like it lost its effect. Yet he had a young baby. Every time that baby would cry, his wife was up and running. And it didn't matter. Through time, the mother never lost that sensitivity to our child is crying, I've got to be there. The whole example that we can learn from it is we don't want to be in a place where over time we just become used to things and God's voice isn't something that can shake our life and become clear to us. We want God's voice to be like that baby. Every time we hear the cry, we're at his feet listening. We don't want it to be like the dog where we've just kind of put it off. It's annoying. I don't want to hear it. And then after a while, we're dull to it. So in this day and age, we need the veil rent taken off. We can be sensitive as listeners to God's voice. Now, the Pharisees did not have that. And again, they were hearing the voice of the law. So even when Jesus spoke the truth to the Pharisees of who he was, why he was sent to the earth, they heard the words, but they didn't hear God's voice. Because they were dominated by another voice, a religious spirit, that blocked them from the truth. How true is that today? How many people are dominated by a religious voice, a good voice telling them good things, but to the extent where they cannot hear the Father personally speaking to their lives through the Holy Spirit? If we can learn to listen intently, we will understand what God is speaking and we'll know how to respond. If we're not listening to God's voice, we are probably reacting to everything outside of us. You know, there's a difference between reacting and responding. Things bother us and we're asking God, you got to change this, you got to change that. We're reacting, and many times our prayers are filled with fear because of what's bombarding us. But the listener hears from God, understands what God wants to bring forth, and there's a faith and a response to the need, not a reaction. New wineskins. I want to go into what I call the four B's of learning to be good listeners. Be leaving. I know that's one word, but give me a break. Be still. Be obedient. And be grateful. I think those four qualities open our ears up to really hear and understand God's voice. Let's start with believing. We know that in believing, you read the book of Hebrews chapter 11, we've got to believe that God is. That's how this whole thing gets started, and we've got to believe that he rewards those that seek him. Faith is a very important quality to being able to listen. Often we struggle with what we hear. But the real key of believing as a listener is it plugs us into the source, knowing the source, even if we struggle with what the source is telling us. In other words, in your mind, you can struggle over what you hear from God, but what God is saying is have faith in the one that is speaking those words. And in time, the words that we struggle with make sense. We're able to accept them. The example, and I won't go into it this morning, you can read about it in the book of Genesis. Romans chapter 4 is Abraham. He struggled over what God spoke, didn't he? God said, you're going to have a son, and I guess I better read that. I'm referring now to Romans chapter 4. It says in verse 4:18, in hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to what it was spoken to him. Verse 19, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead since he was 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now, you see the key with Abraham in listening to God was even though he had to struggle, he was human. He looked at his own body and said, there's no way this body can produce a child. He looked at his wife, and that just reaffirmed that. But he listened to God. There was that faith in, these words don't make sense, but I know the source of these words. My faith is in God, the source of the words. And that faith becomes a quality that enables us to hear God even when our mind struggles and still receive his words. You may think your mind has the final say-so. It doesn't have to be that way. God will speak a word and people will say, I just can't see how it's going to happen. I guess I'm not believing this word. You can bypass that whole process. You listen to God. If there's that quality of faith of, I believe in the one that is speaking to me. I believe in his goodness, his mercy, the fact that he will perform what he says he's going to perform. Then when his word comes to you, even if there's a struggle, you're not dominated by the human unbelief. Because that faith has linked you with the source. His words are able to find a place in you. Just like Abraham. I don't know how this is going to happen, but I know you, God. You're my friend. So your words have a place in my heart. My mind will just have to catch up. God looks at Abraham and says, that kind of faith means you have my righteousness. What a blessing. This is being a listener. Because if we're not this way, if we're still under the old system of the law where we're analyzing everything, God, I want to listen to you. And all of a sudden we begin to hear and go, God, that doesn't make sense to my thinking. What do? We stop listening. Or we become selective listeners. Whatever our mind accepts, that will take. If our mind has problems with it, no, we just have to kind of erase that and push that away. That's not listening to the Spirit. That's being dominated and listening to our own thinking. But to listen to the Spirit where his word has place in us means we're looking at the source. And we realize we're one with the source. Believing. Isn't this what Mary had? You know, the law emphasizes works, doesn't it? Use your faith to do works. Martha, running around doing a lot of things. What was Mary doing? Jesus said she was doing the one good thing. At his feet, listening. When you sense that, don't you feel the faith that was in her heart? Knowing that all that was important is what Jesus had to say. Now, the law will never give you that perspective, will it? The law will say, you're not busy for God. There's something wrong here. There's that guilt. There's that condemnation. Get moving. Well, how can you be busy doing things all the time and still be at his feet listening? That's where the religious spirit trips us up. Busy doing all these works, and yet I question how alive are the works we're even doing. I think our busyness is more about trying to somehow calm the guilt we're feeling, that feeling we're not worthy before God. It has more to do with that than doing his will. But the one that can listen, there's that faith to hear God. Out of that comes living works that express God's heart and will. One more thing about believing. If you look at Gideon, and we're not going to read that this morning, Judges chapter 6, we realize that one thing that really interferes with our listening is our self-perception. What is our self-perception? We look at our lifetime of experiences, our history, and there's a thinking that develops out of that about who we are. Unfortunately, we're looking at a lot of disappointments, a lot of failures. And our perception generally is not that positive, is it? God comes to Gideon via an angel and says, "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." Immediately Gideon responds, "If God was with us, why are all these bad things happening?" This goes on with this angel. God's speaking from his perspective and Gideon responding from his human perspective, his own self-image, which again, all our human perspective, how we see ourselves, is so filled with distortions, inaccuracies, pockets of fears. Of course it's not going to agree with God and how he sees us. But you see this battle. Gideon is not listening to the angel. He's listening to his own mind that says, "My father's household is nothing, and I'm the youngest in the household. How can I do these things?" Does that happen to us? God is speaking by his word, and we're looking through our experience and our history saying, "No, that can't be because of this, because of that." When we're coming up with the excuses like Gideon did, it took a little bit of convincing, but he got to where God wanted him to be. We're not listening to God, we're listening to ourselves. So again, that faith in who he is changes our self-image, where we view ourselves not through our own human history, our own disappointments and failures, but we look at our life through God's word, God's grace and love. Get a whole different picture. Second point, be still. Ever been to a calm lake? Take a stone and just skip it along the water. What happens? Bounces, and you get all these ripples where there's calm and the stone goes through the ripples. How about go out to where the water isn't calm? You know, or just throw the stone. You drop it in where it's calm, see the ripples. You go where it's the ocean is raging, you don't even notice it. That's the way it is in our relationship with God, with listening, if we're not still. When we learn to be still, when he speaks, it's like that ripple effect. We're aware of it, and it goes throughout our entire life. It shakes whatever needs to be shaken. It's clear. But if we're in constant turmoil, and that's what we're aware of, all the waves that are crashing over us and the sea is rough, God is still speaking. He is speaking to us in these last days in his Son. He is always speaking. But because we're so aware of the problems in our life, we're just not listening. To be a listener, to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the churches, requires a stillness. How do we get there? I would say you are on course. We all have been on course. Let's look at Elijah. You remember the story? After the prophets of Baal were destroyed, what a tremendous, one of the greatest miracles in the Old Testament. Pours water on the altar, the fire of God comes down, consumes the altar. What was the great miracle? Not that to me. The fact that by what God did that day, an entire nation turned back to God. Elijah was the man of the hour. What a prophet. Shortly after that, fleeing Jezebel, fearing for his life, thrown into turmoil that I don't think he'd ever experienced before. Here's this mighty prophet, depressed, telling God, "I'm not better than my fathers. Why don't I just die now?" He's going through all this turmoil to bring him to one point. He comes on the mountain. The Lord is passing by, the scripture says. Here's the mighty wind, earthquake, fire. God is not in all those things. But what does it say? Then a gentle breeze. And God is speaking to him. It takes a lot of turmoil to bring us to stillness. Now, we don't view our turmoil that way, do we? No, we view it as, "Oh, I just never get over all these problems." That's not the point. The name of this game is not to get through all your problems and then you say, "I made it." Like a to-do list, that to-do list never ends. Difficulties in life, problems and circumstances, that's just the way life is. All that turmoil is to bring us to a point where we can hear that still, small voice of our Father speaking to us. And if we can be aware of that process, instead of looking at our circumstances and going, "What's wrong with me? All these negative things. Oh, certainly God can't speak to me in all this." Look at the source again. Let God bring you through that, to that quiet point. Because he lets the turmoil get so loud and so great that you're willing to let go of it. Right? If it gets so bad, you finally look and say, I can't do this to-do list. I can't get rid of these problems. So I'm going to let them go. And I'm going to focus on God. There is the stillness. David said, thou preparest a table for me in the midst of my enemies. In the midst of all those problems, you feed on God. There's a stillness to appreciate him. Turn with me to Psalm 103, verse 20. Got the wrong verse there. How did I do that? Oh, 131:2. That's all very scary when you want to make a point. You turn to a verse and it has nothing to do with what you're talking about. It's always nice when you can recover. 131:2. This is more like, surely I have composed and quieted my soul. Like a weaned child rests against his mother, my soul is like a weaned child within me. Quieted my soul. And this weaning is very important. What's the difference between a weaned child and a child that has not been weaned? A child that has not been weaned relates to the mother. It's a very selfish thing. I got needs, you take care of my needs. The whole weaning process is the child is able to view his or her mother as more than just a need filler, but as a person. One that has been weaned is able to say, I don't have to have it right now. It's not that instant gratification. There's more of a maturity there. Well, all the turmoil in our life brings us to a point where we're able to let go of our agenda. I got to have my needs met. And say, Lord, I want to focus on you and listen. And in that stillness, you recognize a weaning has taken place. You're not there for what you can get from God. You're there to hear him and what he wants to do. I'll just read this one in Psalm, I believe it's 36. Actually, Psalm 46:10, it says, cease striving and know that I am God. What are we talking about here? Stillness. Stillness. Cease striving. It doesn't say get rid of all your problems. Stop striving with your problems. And be still and know that I am your God. Now, under the law, we're always going to be kept busy, aren't we? Too busy to be still before God. But in grace, we're brought to a place where we're positioned before God to hear his heart. Third is obedience, and I'll move quickly on this. In Hebrew, the word obedience, or obedient, the Hebrew word for that, the Hebrew word for listen includes the word obedience. So when we're talking about obedience, true obedience is born out of being a listener. Now, under law, that's not necessarily the case, because under law, you know, you just look at the content of what's being said. God says, do this. I just have to focus on what he told me to do. That doesn't really have to do with listening to the source, does it? Now, the problem with being under law is you know what to do, you just can't do it a lot of the time. Paul chapter 7, read his struggle. He talks in one verse about the sinful passions. He says that were aroused by the law. Another place in that same chapter, he says, apart from the law, sin is dead. So if we're trying to obey God under law, we can't get there from here. But if we learn how to listen in grace, we find ourselves positioned before him as a listener, and to truly listen means that we are able to follow through with what we hear. There's an empowering to do that. There's not the futility of, I know what I want to be doing, why can't I do it, what's wrong with me? But a true listener says, Lord, I hear you, and in your voice, there's power to follow through. Psalm 103:20. Oh, I just got them mixed up. It talks about obeying the voice of his word. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." Now, you catch the difference here? We all know we need to obey what God tells us to do. The word, obeying my voice, it's being linked to the voice that's speaking the words, that gives us the power to follow through. Being a listener does not, it goes beyond you just getting the right instructions. Okay, that's important. What does God want? Being a listener, you're going to hear more accurately what he wants. You got to listen to someone to know what they want you to do. But being a listener means you get to know the voice that's speaking to you. And whenever God speaks, the difference is I can tell you to do something. You know, John, I could tell you to go to the store and get me something. It's an instruction. There probably is nothing more than there in that than just knowledge for you to do or not do it. But when God speaks, if he says, "John, I want you to go to the store for me," his voice has authority that's imparted with those words. So you are enabled by his voice to carry out the very instruction he's given you. That's the way it is with God. So part, the very important part of listening is when we're truly listening in the Spirit, the follow-through is obedience. The last thing is be grateful. Now, gratefulness is different than appreciation. Let me just explain this real quick. To be appreciative means when someone does something for you, you say thank you, right? Grateful, to be grateful though, takes something that takes place in our heart before anything is done for us. It's an attitude of heart. The root, gratefulness is based on the root word grace. And really to be grateful, now you may be thinking right now, we're going to finish with this, what does gratefulness have to do with listening? It's a very important part of listening. To be grateful means we're living in his grace, in his favor. I think one of the big problems today is the malady of more. You know, when is enough enough? When is enough enough in this age? Everybody wants more. There's not a gratefulness. Grabbing more and more, and of course that can never be satisfied. One quote that I like is that want is a growing giant whom the coat of have was never large enough to cover. Example of this would be David. Remember when he lusted after Bathsheba? Here is a king that under his rule, he has everything. Under his rule, Israel is unified. Their enemies have been quieted. They are prosperous. He lives in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem, again, that's referred to the city of David. I mean, he is blessed by God with all that he could want. Yet he looks at a woman that belongs to another man and has to have her. The malady of more. You remember when Nathan the prophet confronted him after he committed the sin? What did God say? "David, I would have given you anything. All you had to do is ask. Why did you have to take something that didn't belong to you?" We live in those kind of times, don't we? No matter how much God blesses us, if we are not grateful for his blessings, we always feel we have to have more, and that's always going to lead us astray. Now, what does this have to do with listening? I'm glad you asked me that. If we are not grateful, when we come before God, I don't care how we voice it, our prayers are filled with, "I got to have more." We come before him with our agenda, our demands, and in that mode, we are not listening to him. We are dictating. We are telling him. Because we are not satisfied. We are not grateful. We are not thankful. We're coming to relate to God because we got to get something from him. But a grateful heart is like Paul says, 2 Corinthians 12:9, God said, "My grace is sufficient for you." A grateful heart knows that. Paul said, "I've learned to be content, whatever state I'm in." That's gratefulness. A grateful heart comes before God and says, "Speak, Lord, your servant's listening. I don't need any more. Yeah, there's things I'd like. I've got needs here. But I am so grateful for all you've done for my life." That positions you to listen and hear things that an ungrateful heart cannot and will not hear. Your agenda is not first and foremost when you're grateful. You come before God and you say, God, what is your agenda? What do you want to speak? I want to hear it. I want to live it. Maybe this applies to the times we're in. There are times when God asks nothing of his children except silence, patience, and tears. Maybe we're in a time where God is not asking for acceleration of our works. Maybe he's saying, be silent, be still, become a listener, be patient. Let the tears flow because the needs are great, but stand before me, sit before me, kneel before me in your heart, and listen to what I have to say. Because if we have true listeners in this hour, the doing that comes out of that will be the living works of God that will change this planet and life on this planet as we know it. Let's stand. Lord, we recognize that if we still choose to walk under the bondage of law, we can never truly listen to you. And our desire is what our Lord spoke to us in John. My sheep know my voice, another they will not follow. Our cry this morning is not to be under anything other than your lordship. Help us, Lord, in your grace, in this day of your Spirit, to be those that listen intently and hear all that you have to say to your people.